Sports Station 105.3, the Fan, entire crew back together again. Sean Trafe, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Bell. We got Peyton in the back live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. How did things go yesterday?
There was no fires. No fires to have to put out, except for your throat. How's the throat? Fiery?
Like, yesterday it was fine, and then it was a head cold, and then, like, this morning at, like, 3, 4 o'clock, my throat started burning again, but... I cannot miss a game day, and I cannot miss a must-win game day for the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, what do you mean by must-win?
Brad Sham, here's what I mean. I'm glad you asked. If the Dallas Cowboys, and I want to qualify it clearly and define it, especially when the web team puts out, Sean Tree says must-win game, and everyone goes, we're mathematically still in it.
Wait, 14 games left.
If the Dallas Cowboys lose tonight to the New York Giants, they can still make the playoffs. If the Dallas Cowboys lose tonight to the New York Giants, I do not believe that Mike McCarthy is fired tomorrow. But I believe if the Dallas Cowboys lose to the New York Giants tonight, it will be the end of Mike McCarthy at some point in time this season or after the season because of the stretch that follows. I think tonight is absolutely must win for Mike McCarthy, given how fragile this team is, his own mood and sensitivity, and the fact that after this, you have the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road, the Detroit Lions, then the bye week, where maybe a change could be made, I don't know. You come out of that at San Francisco, at the Atlanta Falcons, with the Philadelphia Eagles, with the Houston Texans, and then you get whatever the Commanders are. That is brutal. And if you screw up this gimme game, which some may not have it as a gimme game at 7:20 this morning when we make the picks, I believe it's the end of Mike. Tonight is a must-win game for Mike McCarthy, in my opinion, to be able to coach for next year.
Well, yeah, I mean, it probably is very likely because in order for him to coach for next year, they have to make the postseason in advance. Would Mike survive if they go 9-8, sneak in, and make the NFC Championship game?
Maybe.
Right? So, like, and I would, I mean, I would look worse on him if they're 9-8 and they make the NFC Championship game than if they're 12-5 and they lose in the division round.
I guess I'm trying to say I don't believe that they make the playoffs if they lose this game.
It's going to be very difficult.
Tonight, with the stretch that follows.
Yeah. Now, it's going to be very difficult. I think they beat Pittsburgh. I don't like the way Detroit's playing. They're moving the ball, but they're not like capitalizing on drives.
San Fran's not playing well.
San Fran's not playing well, but we know how they play against San Fran.
Atlanta's not scary.
Houston has not played great this year.
Philadelphia could be gettable.
Washington. I mean, are we really buying that yet? So it's not like it's not murderer's row, but it's a tough stretch. I mean, a lot of those games are toss-up games. And you're right. I mean, you know, in a league where favorites are going down the tubes left and right, and you've got teams that are 2-1 that nobody expected to be 2-1 or 3-0 for that matter. It's a wild season. I don't want to be part of that.
Bob, what do you think about my must-win take?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a must-win from, you're right, the way the schedule breaks down. I think it's also a must-win just from the fact that the way that people are talking around this team the last 4 or 5 days shows like they know, like, hey, we're at kind of a point right now where if this doesn't turn around, it's gonna tilt to a really bad direction.
Yeah.
And so I think just from that sense, just to soften that over, calm that down, and especially get 10 days, you do not want to lose tonight and then sit on that for almost 2 weeks. That's gonna be something that I don't know what kind of mood we're going to get from...
What do you mean sit on it for 2 weeks?
Because
two games, then the bye.
Right, no, but I'm just saying because it's a middle of the week game. You're sitting on it for 10 days. More than a week is basically what I'm just saying. But you got to sit there and stew in that. And, you know, Jerry coming back on Tuesday, I'm sure he, if they lose this game, after sitting on that for a little bit, he's going to be pretty frustrated. Mike McCarthy's probably not going to be very happy. And you're already sensing tension between the players. That's definitely not going to get any better tonight if they lose.
There is a Jerry fire the general manager movement that has gone viral with this guy standing in front of the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. Petitions are being passed around. T-shirts are being sold.
Look,
hold your breath.
You know, I actually don't
hold your breath. Well, some of you hold your breath.
Settle down just a little bit.
There are some things that are worth putting petitions out for, and some that are not. And this is not, because it's just a waste of energy. And I don't know, like, what do people do that have this much time on their hands to worry about a petition that's never going to happen?
Is there any way that something like this would push him towards a Belichick? Not him giving up titles, stepping aside, not having fingerprints on. Is there any way something like this with the pressure and the noise could make him do Parcells 2.0?
Well, Parcells was a different story because that was a 3-5-11 seasons, and they wanted a stadium.
Yeah.
There's no stadium to be had unless there's something going on that we don't know about. And they're not 5-11. They're in a different. It's a different 3-year stretch of pressure. I don't know. I don't know that there is. I think obviously he would like want the name in because it's a big splash, but is he going to give up what Bill would want?
Yeah. Does he want to sacrifice
credit?
Does he want to sacrifice credit? Does he want to sacrifice some of the people in his personnel department who I don't think would work with Bill? I think if they move on from McCarthy, Bill's near the top of the list of people that they're going to talk about. Like, that's going to be a top of mind candidate for them. They'll clearly be willing to entertain it. I just think when they sit down, if they get down and they start talking to each other about what their ideas are, I think both of them are going to realize, like, we like each other. We'd love to work together. I don't think this is exactly is going to match up the way that we need it to.
Plus, all the reports now have Bill looking at the Jacksonville Jaguars with his relationship with Khan. But we have this.
And they're probably going to be the first one available. They might be the first one available. I mean, they might be able to hire him as an interim this year if they wanted to.
Let's see how tonight goes.
Accountability and apologies yesterday that I was glad to see, read, and hear. With I heard you guys talking about CeeDee Lamb yesterday at 6 o'clock, and then Mike McCarthy apologizing to Nick Harris. So that was actually good, with some accountability and some apologies from Lamb and McCarthy.
Personal growth. That's good. That's productive. They're moving forward.
Pretty dramatic there, Nick.
The McCarthy apology was needed, like, the next day. I'm not surprised. When you mentioned it on, what day was that, Tuesday? When you mentioned, like, you figured he was going to go in there, it makes sense because he knows he doesn't like looking like he's sweating up there. So when he breaks like that and it's universal, the criticism from people, that makes sense. CD standing up there talking about it. We're kind of, as you mentioned, kicking it around yesterday.
Let me stop you right there.
Uh-huh.
It finally hit me driving in.
Did it?
Yep.
What is it?
It finally hit me, your little tie to him and everything, and your weird defense, which you ended up wrong on, at least given Lamb's apology. You are CeeDee Lamb.
Oh, yeah.
That hit me yesterday.
Yeah.
You are giving him this pass for messing up just because you know you give him points for his intentions. And that's what we do with you.
Yeah.
When you come in late and oversleep and screw up or do something, like, someone asked on YouTube, why isn't he getting punished for this? How are there no ramifications at work? Well, it's because we like you, and it's because we know what your true intent is. So that finally clicked for me driving in. You're a Lamb, but it's like your kid continuing to break your rules, but you're like, I think he means well. Like, he's not a bad kid. He just continues to break the rules. The bottom line for me is you did not do what you said. The scary part about the Lamb thing is he just spent an entire offseason talking about being a leader, and he did that crap in the third game of the season. That's what's scary about it. Like, it didn't get to the eighth game. It didn't get to the ninth game. But you're basically Lamb. You screw up. We should just take it that you screwed up, but we bend the rules a little bit and overlook it because of who you are and what you intend.
Don't you feel like with Lamb, though, when you've got a history of him making mistakes or whatever else, you don't feel like there's any nuance or like any sort of, there's no difference along the way where it's like, well, he did learn from that instance, but now it's okay, here's a new experience and the application needs to be adjusted? You don't feel that way at all?
No, I thought it was petulant last year, and what he did on Sunday was petulant.
Okay, but I just feel,
and it's just you're searching for the excuse versus like forgetting, you know, putting aside the bigger picture. The bigger picture is he's still acting petulant. And he owned it. I like what he said. Go ahead and move past it. But
it's just words.
It's just words. And I got to see it. This team is they're so good Tuesday through Saturday. They're so good on just talking and trying to cover it all up. But when the S hits the fan and things start to boil, they never respond with that type of composure on the field. They never respond with that type of composure within the lines. They fold, they crumble, and part of this offseason for the fans is talk is cheap. We're not listening to Jerry anymore about it. We're not going to listen to your sell jobs. We're not going to listen to all your podcasts. We don't care. Dak, with all your leadership statements and all your seminars, no one gives a crap. No one gives a freaking crap until you make it to the NFC Championship game. But at least they took accountability for it. That was good. I heard you had a blast last night with a guest in the Cowboy Hour.
Rocket Ishmael. He was he was really, really good. And we had talked about this, the actual, like, this discussion about the blow-ups, like when Micah and DeMarcus Lawrence are interacting the way they are and CD's interacting the way they are. And he was talking about the first game he played for the Cowboys against Washington and how he had dropped a pass in the first half and he came back into the huddle. And Eric Williams just ripped into him in the huddle and took a big old club, whacked him in the side of the head, and he's like, I'm not kidding, the rest of the first half, my left side was numb. And he's like, it like messed me up like that. And he's like, later in the game, they dropped the same play. Emmett's in the huddle telling me the same thing. He's like, you better not drop the effing ball. We're about to throw it to you. And I didn't, and I came through with it. He's like, but here's the thing. He said, a foundation was built of trust and camaraderie, and there was a baseline for their interactions where they knew how they felt about each other. And they knew that they had the cachet built up, or whatever you want to say, that they knew that they had the baseline and the structured relationship to be able to then have Eric Williams whack him in the side of the head and him not freak out about it. So he's like, they can have those moments, but they better make sure that they've got a foundation that says, but we know what we expect from each other and we value each other. And so those moments, you can write them off because of what you built. And the Cowboys haven't shown necessarily that they've got that.
And it did not surprise you to hear that Rocket was awesome with them.
Love Rocket. Rocket was great. Did some, you know, post-game shows with him.
Well,
over the years, he's fantastic.
That was with Joe D, right?
Yeah.
Joe D. Messina.
That's right. Coach Joe.
I remember us sitting at the Fan Sports Lounge.
Coach Joe was part of him. Tony Casillas was a part of him over the years. It was, he's a great guest. Tremendous.
Cowboys are doing something they've never done before this week. They're playing a road game on a short week. They have never played an away game with just 3 days between matchups. Every other team has played at least 6 road games with limited rest.
I mean, look, the Cowboys play a Thursday night game every year. That's unlike every other team in the league other than Detroit, right? So now, for years. Now everybody plays one, but for years, the Cowboys and the Lions were the only ones that play one every year. But this is just a correction. You know, they have to be eventually playing on road, a road Thursday night game. It just makes it more fair for the rest of the league, because the rest of the league does this every other year, essentially. And I do wonder if what we're going to see moving forward is just division games for the Cowboys and for the Lions on these Thursday night games. Because the Lions last year went on the road to Green Bay on a Thursday and then home to Green Bay on Thanksgiving. This year, the Cowboys going on the road to the Giants and then home to the Giants on Thanksgiving.
Well, and they've done road Thursday night games before.
But not on a short week.
Not on a short week. I mean, they've had a short week. Like, for instance, the closest this ever happened was when they played the Titans at the end of the year a couple years ago. But that was a Saturday game before that. So they had the extra day of rest. But when you see a note like this, that's one of those ones where it's like, I don't want to hear anyone try to claim, like, the NFL's trying to screw the Cowboys all the time. The NFL's always got it out for the Cowboys. It's like, well, clearly the NFL has neglected something that the rest of the league has had a disadvantage for a minimum of 6 times over the years that the Cowboys haven't been given once. So it can't be that much of a screw job.
And the Cowboys and Giants both preparing to be without some defensive backs tonight?
Yeah, it looks like no Kalen Carson tonight, no Marquise Bell. Both of them are doubtful. Carson, that means probably a lot of Andrew Booth in this game, I would guess. And then for the Giants, they're missing 2 of their better corners, both guys who can play in the slot. Adoree Jackson is out, and Drew Phillips, the rookie, who may be one of their 5 best players based on what I've seen on tape leading up to this game. So that's a tough spot for the Giants to be in, and Dallas has got to take advantage of it.
Wyatt Langford does it again. Is Sam Darnold the MVP? Is Saquon Barkley making us all look bad? Mike Tomlin will go down as a better coach than Andy Reid, and Pittsburgh cannot go to Russell Wilson, which the Cowboys have coming up. RJ Choppy with some overreactions or not around the NFL and on your home of the Rangers. It's game day with Sean and RJ.